We are going to continue the hour by talking about lots and lots of data about our community. Every year, the Chamber for Greater Chapel Hill Carborough puts together hundreds of data points for the State of the Community Report. Chamber President Aaron Nelson delivers this every year. He did it last week, and we have got Aaron Nelson in the studio now to break down some of the results and talk about where you can find more. CarolinaChamber.org is the website. Chapel Hill Carborough Chamber of Commerce bringing us this conversation. Aaron, pleasure as always. Good to be with you
today. It is really good to be with you, Harry.
Always a fascinating talk, and I'm always sorry to miss it now that I host the morning show and the show overlaps with the start of the talks. I'm excited to have you in here to break it down. What are some of the key takeaways this year?
We love that we gather this information, and communities, particularly as things are getting a little more divisive, I think we can disagree about the prescriptions and maybe the solutions, but we shouldn't disagree about the facts. And so it's nice to have a set of data that Chapel Hill, Carborough, Hillsborough, Orange County all invest in producing. We partner with Carolina Demography to make great information available to our community. And this year, there's some real standouts. Mm. A not surprising cost of housing. As we take a look at the cost of housing and how it has grown across our community, Chatham County still is leading the way. The median home price for the last 6 months is $600,000. That was the same in 2022. And that in Orange County, it continues to creep up, approaching now $500,000 as the median, right? Half sold more than $500 and half for less. Chapel Hill, Carborough City Schools, and Carborough, the cost of housing there are now higher than anywhere else in our region. And in Carborough in particular, the cost of housing is up $200,000 over just 2019 pricing. Mm. So you put that plus additional taxes plus the cost of borrowing, the cost to live or to buy a new home in our community is out of reach of most.
And one of the other data points that's not in housing but goes along with it is who's moving into Orange County and who's moving out. And you can definitely see, just looking really quickly at that slide, that the people who are moving in are wealthier and the people who are moving out are less wealthy. And that's regardless of if they're coming in from out of state or other parts of North Carolina. Like, it's the same across the board.
And from a policy perspective, I think what that's going to mean is if we're going to be able to recruit and retain the faculty and staff that we need to keep our university excellent, and if we're going to recruit and retain the employees for our healthcare system and our small businesses, that figuring out how to produce more housing is a key priority. Supply is going to have to be part of this solution. In the school district, we are not making many new homes. And in fact, I think it was like 28 new homes were produced in all of last year for sale. And so more supply will be essential if we are going to compete for the talent that we need to be successful.
Big spike in home prices in 21 and 22. 23, it's been kind of flat across the board. Is that a positive step or is that a blip, do you think?
Well, it's flat in Chatham. We saw growth in the Chapel Carborough City Schools. We are seeing some reduction in the cost of rent. Mm-hmm. So over the last five quarters, rent, while it was up dramatically, close to 30% over the previous 2 years, we are seeing some moderation in our apartment complex. So the big complexes in town, as we have added more supply, and we have seen some reduction in cost.
Speaking with Aaron Nelson again, Chamber for Greater Chapel Hill Carborough, CarolinaChamber.org is the website, talking about the State of the Community Report. We'll be able to get a link to it up on their website, and we'll have a link to it on our website as well, chapelborough.com. Turning to renters then, Orange County and North Carolina are about the same in terms of about a third of residents are renters, but in Chapel Hill Carborough, it's now a majority of residents who
That's
rent,
true.
Right?
Carborough, I think it's 58% of people are renting, and 51% of folks in Chapel Hill. And so we got to think about what our goals are, is both add supply in the homeownership market as well as in the rental market. Lately, in the last several years, it's been rental that is easier to finance for developers. And so that's why we're seeing all of these apartment complexes. I get lots of questions about why not more for sale homes. We will see some condo coming, but in general, condo and townhouse, in order to get the money to build it, you have to pre-sell half of them. Mm-hmm. But we do have some new condo complexes coming along. Single family is where we'll have to do some investing, finding the land in order to make that possible. Changing some of our rules and regulations on where that can be built will help a great deal.
Does it affect like who lives in Chapel Hill? I noticed another statistic, again, nothing to do with housing, but there's been a decrease in enrollment in Chapel Hill, Carborough City Schools and Orange County Schools, and I wonder if that's because the people who are moving in are just starting out, maybe don't have kids, things like that.
I think the different types of housing draw different types of folks. So we in the Exchange at Meadowmont, and then it's an office complex, right? Mm-hmm. And then that has drawn some people that wanted to live close to that, so that you see the apartments in Meadowmont or just down the street from that. There are developments that have apartments and have condos, but don't make any children for the public school system.
Again, speaking with Aaron Nelson and turning to one other data point that I'm always fascinated by, because it's similar every year, but the number of people who live outside of Chapel Hill and commute in versus the people who live inside of Chapel Hill and commute out tends to be pretty similar. And this also becomes a housing question, because we're doing this push to add more housing stock. Part of that is affordability. Part of that is just keeping up with demand. And part of that is to cut down on the burden on the roads, right? Transit. So what do we need to do to ensure that the people who are moving into these spaces in Chapel Hill and Carborough are also the folks who are working here, so that the commute isn't...
It's a great question. Jobs have grown faster in Orange County than housing. Mm-hmm. And when jobs grow faster than housing, you import your labor. And so every morning, 80,000 people drive into Orange County from somewhere else. And about 45,000 people drive out of Orange County. If we could grow more housing in our community and bring those people closer to where they work, we would reduce traffic, we would reduce pollution, we would reduce the needs on the roads. In fact, civic participation goes up the closer that people live to their homes. Mm-hmm. The longer the commute, the less likely they are to be involved. And bringing the housing for our university, for our public school system, for our healthcare system closer to the employment center will benefit all of us.
Is there a community, this isn't part of the report, but is there a community out there that should serve as a model for ours, a community that's able to be both desirable and affordable, which is what we want?
It's easier to find the ones that we don't want to
Right, exactly.
The ghost of Christmas Future is Vail and Boulder and some other places where people are commuting 45 minutes, an hour, hour and a half in order to find housing. We see pockets of places that have chosen to invest and to grow the supply of their housing more proximate to where people work. When we travel on our inner city visits, Asheville is a place that has been building some more housing. When we were in Athens, Georgia, we looked to college towns to see if there are examples of choosing to put more housing. Wake County is doing a nice job of growing their supply of housing to make sure that folks are commuting less and living closer.
That is housing. What other points stand out to you this year?
Well, you mentioned school enrollment. School enrollment is down. We have almost 1,000 fewer children in the local, in Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools, and about 1,100 fewer children across both districts. And that has been on the decline for over the last 3 years. Some of that is people taking their children to homeschool. Some of that has been private school. Some of that is people living here without children or delaying when they choose to have children. But what that has meant is, you know, we shouldn't be as afraid of housing used to be a real challenge because we were afraid it was going to swamp our schools. Mm-hmm. And the opposition to housing would have been a worry. Like, for example, a development across from Southern Village, we would have worried about the elementary school's overcapacity.
I remember that SAPFO report was a much bigger deal 10 years ago.
The school's adequate public facilities ordinance. Yeah, so that is not a challenge now. We can afford in this community to bring housing without it swamping our school system. When we do look at schools, one of the big concerns is the school performance based on, you know, how children interacted with COVID. And COVID caused a great deal of learning loss. Mm-hmm. Children's performance prior to COVID was much greater than it is after, and our school system is going to have to spend a lot of time and resources to help those children catch back up. I think our school system is up to the challenge. The superintendent, Dr. Hamlet, has this as a top priority, and she is also and her team using data to track how folks are recovering and where to put the resources.
Any really positive trends that you're seeing?
We've seen some great rebounding. So the huge fall after COVID in the first year of retesting in 2021, but there are some areas of great climb back that children are getting back to where they were just prior to COVID.
In general, for the report, any positive trends that should be noted?
Oh, yeah. Our community is incredibly successful. This is one of the greatest places to live. So we are going to discuss some of our challenges, but that's because we can afford to.
Right.
Because things are going really well. So, for example, retail sales are through the roof. Incredibly healthy. That means that we have wages being paid in our market and folks have disposable income to spend. And so year over year, our retail sales continues to grow. And that brings resources into our government so that they can afford to do the good work that we want from them. We're seeing real strength and growth in our economy. New companies being created, hiring new people. Wages are up substantially. Per capita income continues to rise. Poverty is on the decline. Food insecurity is on the decline. As wages have gone up and the state has continued to provide some support, we'll need to see how that holds up as we come into this bit of a recession and as we see the data from the last year a little closer. But there's a lot going great in this community. We remain one of the greatest places to live and work and shop and play. But it also means that we have the resources that we need to address our challenges. And we're going to both highlight those successes as well as areas we need to work.
And I know there's one, again, kind of been a nagging issue for the community for a long time, which is this big gap between residential and commercial in terms of the property tax base. And that's shrinking too, right?
Yeah, that is one of the most exciting things to come out of this report. We have run our government and public services on the backs of a residential property tax base, at sometimes 80% residential, 20% commercial. And that's expensive. It's much more healthy if you have a stronger commercial tax base. Commercial consumes less government services than a residential property does. And we saw real gains. Orange County went from 21% commercial to 27% commercial. In Chapel Hill, we see the healthiest mix in this 2023 assessment, 66% residential and 34% commercial. Is a really getting a much healthier mix, and we've done a nice job on economic development, and our commercial properties are improving in value. And as we continue to invest, particularly in the downtown, I think we'll see the benefits of that.
And speaking of that, and speaking of the economy and resilience during and after the pandemic, I have told people on many, many occasions, especially folks from out of town that I talk to, and I'm glad to see this reflected in the report and proving me right, that we had more restaurants open during the pandemic than closed, which I think is really significant just in and of itself. The thing that stood out to me is that more restaurants closed before the pandemic than during and after. That was shocking, but it's also just a testament to how much we stood up and supported those businesses.
Yes, our restaurants, in a normal two-year period, we might lose 200 restaurants, 100 a year close, and it was much less than that in the pandemic. Well, that means that the government support helped, right? PPP and EIDL and the other investments that were designed to keep restaurants alive kept them alive. Some of those, when that was over, they did end up, some of them did not make it. But we were very excited to see that over the last 2 years, we've seen real growth in the restaurant industry, 100 restaurants opening in fiscal year 2023, while only 52 closed. So we are a foodie place, right? More farmers markets and grocery store brands and a lot of food. We spend a lot of our money as a community on food, and our restaurants are feeling that support.
Speaking with Aaron Nelson again, Chamber for Greater Chapel Hill Carborough. Got to start wrapping up. People want to check out all of this data. Where can they get it?
At carolinachamber.org, if you scroll all the way to the bottom of the website, there's a link and you'll find the data book. And over the next bit, if you go there and you find last year's data book, you can enjoy it. And soon, the new one will be posted there with 400 community indicators.
carolinachamber.org is the website. Go there and find out more. And as we wrap up, anything else from the report that we haven't mentioned that folks ought to know?
Well, for me, a key takeaway is schools have to be a main focus. It is really why people, one of the big reasons that people choose to live here. We got to focus on our economy and growing wages and finding work opportunity for the folks that live here. Housing must be a priority. We have to add to the supply. If not, we're going to be like other communities where housing is so expensive that people commute from further and further away. There are great bright spots. We should be really proud of the success that we are making. But also take note of the places that are going to need some additional attention.
16th Annual State of the Community Report was presented by PNC Bank and the Triangle Community Foundation, Chapel Hill Carborough Chamber of Commerce, Chamber for a Greater Chapel Hill Carborough, bringing us this conversation. Find them online and get the full report at carolinachamber.org. Aaron Nelson, thank you so much.
Thank you.